to Real Flix Reviews Movie News. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. So here is this week's question. In your opinion, what song is forever attached to a particular movie to you? And our answers in a bit. So there's some interesting movie news. The first one I thought was funny is J.J. Abrams is going to produce a World War II zombie movie called Overlord. And my first thought was, hey, it's a J.J. Abrams Dead Snow.
Is Hugh Jackman going to be playing Wolverine in this?
Probably.
Dude, I am so in. First of all, Dead Snow done by
J.J. Abrams.
Somebody like J.J. Abrams. I am so there.
So I was talking on another Facebook page, and I had the same comment that the admin was like, dude, seriously. Was like, hey.
I like Dead Snow. I haven't seen the second one, though.
And there's a list of the most anticipated movies of 2017, and Spider-Man's on it, and who the fuck is anticipating another Spider-Man movie at this point? It's not Hollywood? Like there's been any good ones.
It's only the Hollywood marketers.
That's Spider-Man Homecoming, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, it's the first Spider-Man Marvel movie, which, if history shows itself to be correct, it's still going to suck.
Yeah. Well, look, I really, really, really have high hopes after watching that original teaser. You know, because it seemed like they were bringing kind of the original soul back to the character, the funny. I really liked the kid that was in Civil War,
which is
the same guy who's playing in Homecoming.
Now,
but it feels like they're just hulking the freaking Spider-Man now.
To a certain extent, but also you got to remember that Spider-Man was the first comic book movie that was done in this sort of new wave of comic book stuff.
Now, I do have a question for you. This is kind of not about this movie news, but there was movie news they may make a Spider-Man movie revolving the new Spider-Man. I forgot what universe it is, but it's Miles something, you know, Peter Parker dies when he's the black kid.
The one that they rebooted with.
Yeah.
The comic books.
And I was thinking, you know, why don't they... I thought that was a brilliant idea, because Peter Parker's Spider-Mans haven't really worked. Why not just completely add something out of left field?
That's something that... Well, look, Miles comic
Morales?
Books have been doing this for 80 years. Yeah. They've been revamping characters, adding new things. Movies are so infantile when it comes to actually brandishing some of these stories and some of these arcs. They have years to get into, oh, now this Spider-Man's dead, now we have the new character from New 52.
See, I just don't know. The only thing is, unless you're like us who are geeks who kind of keep up with the comics, I think doing one with the new reboot, I think will be difficult because everybody's like, who's this kid? He's not Spider-Man. And you're going to have a bunch of geeks like, dude, he's been a Spider-Man for like 20 years.
Well, but my point being is the rebooting of, you know, now you have the African American kid being Spider-Man because the old one's dead. It's the kind of shit you do when you've ran out of Peter Parker stories.
True. I have to admit, though, I'm kind of intrigued if they do that. I would love to see how they turned out. Matter of fact, just make an anime about it. Make a cartoon. I'm legitimately interested to see not only how they do it, but how the general public would react. Because he's 100% different than anything we've seen before.
Well, but the general public is not sick of Peter Parker yet.
They should be.
You know? Yeah. But they're not. You know, we're coming from a place of like, oh, okay, I've 32 years of knowing about Spider-Man and his different adventures and things like that. I've seen 1,000 different Peter Parkers. You know, but the movie audience, you're getting a whole new group of people, this mainstream group of people. You don't have to reach that far into the future yet. They can keep making money the next 10 years before they bring out Black Spider-Man.
True. And so another movie to get back on track that's coming out that people are looking forward to is Alien Covenant. Comes out May 19th, 2017. I'll watch every Alien movie. I'm kind of sick that way. I'm hoping it's good because Prometheus is a fan of the universe almost broke me. It was so bad. Even Aliens 4, in some respect, had more redeeming value in storyline than Prometheus did, in my opinion. And that's...
Well, look, Aliens versus Predators did.
Oof, that's rough.
But I am such a Ridley Scott fan. I mean, that dude has done so right by the movie-going audience.
But you know, Prometheus way sucked.
Back in the day. I mean, this dude has had so few, like, not, like, hit movies. You know, not even, like, duds, but just, like, hey, this one didn't make $100 million, you know? But, I mean, we're talking about what do you call it? I mean, obviously, Alien and Gladiator, for fuck's sake. Blade Runner. I'm missing a ton. Black Hawk Down, for Christ's sake. I mean, these movies are like iconic to the time.
Yeah, but we're talking about, you know, the next Alien sequel. When the last one, honestly, wasn't that great.
I'm so willing to forgive the subtle mistakes of, like, a Prometheus just to see another Alien movie.
I just want them to do right. And the next one is one that, I'll be honest, I still don't see a point of completely rebooting. This is the next Power Rangers movie. Comes out March 24th. This, you guys, if you haven't seen the trailer, you have to watch it, because it's 100% different than the American retelling of the series. And god damn, does it look bad.
Oh, it looks so fucking cookie cutter. It's like the most average fucking movie of all time with Power Rangers and new cool suits.
It pretty much. It looks awful.
Are they going with racist Power Rangers?
No, so what it is...
Well, they're going with the tropes of the black guy is not the Black Ranger, and he's like, but you're the Black Ranger, but I'm black, but how can you be the black... It's so dumb, dude.
And then what they do, instead of all being... Because in the American, the very first Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, they were all goody-two-shoes and gaw-shucks, but now you
Amy Jo Johnson, dude, she...
And now you have all now you have all the bad kids. These are the bad of the bad. They're so dangerous. How can they? And right. Then, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's the ne'er-do-wells that get the powers, and they realize that they coming together and fighting as one, they can overcome all their fucking problems.
It's basically a really cheesy redemption story. Just give me, you know.
It might as well be the story of Step Up.
You know, just all they need is a cameo from Jason David Frank. And the next one, I actually have to admit, I'm looking forward to is Blade Runner 2049. Comes out October 6th. I'm curious in how they pull it off more than anything. My question is, are they going to be able to reproduce the feel of the original movie, like 30 plus years after the fact?
No.
Oh, sorry. Mike's away from me. No.
You've got the Lego Batman movie that'll do well no matter what. You've got the reboot of the Tom Cruise Mommy movie, which is supposedly going to be the reboot of the Universal Classic Monsters. I don't think it's going to do well because it's not in the 20s.
Well, that's the thing, is we've already kind of gone against my instincts of, like, oh, make this in the 20s and it'll be a great movie. But they're not doing that. Okay, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and watch the movie. But here's a good one. As much of a fan of Ridley Scott as I am, he's redoing Murder on the Orient Express.
Ooh.
Right. Now, ooh, that's a genre that we don't see too much of nowadays, is like the straight up whodunit people in a locked room murder mystery.
That was noir though, right?
So this is gonna it was very noir. But at the same time, even if they do it noir today, that's a genre that hasn't been beaten to death.
Not really. I mean, you did have the Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
Well, Hateful Eight was a very specific voice telling that kind of story.
I'm not a giant fan of noir and neo-noir, but I'm kind of digging the idea of kind of dipping the toe in the water, because a good whodunit just doesn't happen. Matter of fact, usually they're so predictable that this bastard next to me is like, he did it in like the first 2 minutes, and then like 2.5 hours later, he fucking did it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, but Ridley Scott, man, I mean, this dude has such a tap right into what entertains me. You know, I don't know if it's just me or if everybody sort of feels the same way, but I mean, I can't imagine, you know, people feeling differently with all the Blade Runner fans and Alien fans out there, you know?
So some of the other movies coming up are the Fate and the Furious. It's going to do well, and it's going to suck.
The Fate and the Furious?
The Fate of the Furious.
No, the Fate of the Furious is the new fucking Furious.
I'm calling
the Fags of the Furious.
I'm calling it fake because it's just, it's going to do well, but the movies still suck. There's never been a good one.
You mean the Fags they should of the title Furious? The movie How to Print Money.
Seriously. And Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales, it's going to do well, and it's going to suck, because like the other ones.
Also, How to Print Money. It's
Yeah.
The
next one is...
I think James and I watched the first Pirates like 3 times together in the theater.
Yeah. And there's Kong Skull Island. I originally wasn't interested, but the more I hear about it, the more it seems interesting. So I'll probably definitely see it. The Beauty and the Beast live action, I'm not a giant fan of this trend, but...
I'm a fan of Beauty and the Beast.
I do like Beauty and the Beast, and so I'm going to end up seeing it.
You know what's funny about that is I'm totally willing to accept those and actually go see them because I'm the guy who wanted to see the real life version of Batman so long, and it's the same kind of thing. You know, Disney movies having their princes and princesses.
So Michael Keaton was your boy. Yeah, you want to see the real version crush?
Of that. I get it.
So there's Thor Ragnarok coming out, and I'll be honest, I probably won't see it because I'm kind of sick of Marvel movies at this point. That's, you know.
This one has actually been kind of a long time coming, the Ragnarok one. So
yeah, it has.
The
waters have been muddied since that movie's announcement, but I'm still looking forward to it.
So just to kind of to get through the list a bit, because we're running a little, we got the question and answer. Got Dunkirk, Guardian of the Galaxies 2.
I want to see that one.
War of the Planet of the Apes, Spider-Man Homecoming.
They're doing another Planet of the Apes?
Wonder Woman, which might be interesting, and Justice League, and Logan, which is definitely one we're going to end up seeing, probably doing for the show. And so here is our question of the week. In your opinion, what song is forever attached to a particular movie to you? And I'm going to go last on purpose. So Ryan, batter's up.
Okay, well, you know what, the reason I had thought to ask you guys this was I was just driving down the road, and don't ask me why my Pandora suggested this, but Berlin, Take My Breath Away came on, and I immediately got transported back to Top Gun. You know, I probably haven't seen the movie in 10 years. You know, at least all the way through. But I was immediately like, oh, fuck, I'm watching Top Gun right now driving down the road. You know, and that song to me is forever attached to that movie. So every time I hear Take My Breath Away by Berlin, which is not often, you know, that is what I think of. That is the imagery that I have. And it is attached to that movie.
So, James?
Yeah. I got three. I'm going to make them quick. Because there's one that's Jump Out, duh.
I'll give you that.
You know, I mean, that one will always be there.
I'm so glad this isn't. I'm gonna.
And this one's, you know, kind of name that movie. I'm pretty sure you guys will get it.
Oh hell yeah!
So that
it's
one,
Shrek.
And then this one's. John wants to be slapped right now, but I'm gonna let it go. And this one is the more random one. It's like, go away. Can you name that movie?
I know it, but I can't place it.
Pauly Shore.
Oh,
Son-in-Law. Every time I hear that song by Bob Denver, I always think of Pauly Shore going around in the freaking Harvester.
Mine is a tad bit more obscure. Ever heard of the movie Young Einstein?
Yes.
And I've seen it. Rock and Roll Music by Chuck Berry.
Oh.
He plugs in this, like, electric guitar.
Yeah.
That's a movie I loved as a kid. So it's always, every time I hear it, I remember the scene of him strumming that electric guitar.
Right. I have a couple of honorable mentions. One, Where Is My Mind by the Pixies, being played at the end of Fight Club.
Yeah.
When he said, you met me at a very strange time in my life.
Yeah.
Every time I hear the Pixies now, I get transported back to those buildings collapsing in the background.
And wants to fight somebody.
And, oh man, what was the other one? You just made me think of it too with your suggestion. What was it you said again?
John or me?
John.
Rock and Roll Music by Chuck Berry. It's Young Einstein.
Oh right, Johnny B. Goode from
Back
to the Future.
Oh yeah.
And so for a couple of more things in movie news. John Lennon and Yoko Ono's love story will be made into a movie.
No interest.
My question, is it going to show John Lennon beating her like a week-old steak? He was not a particularly nice individual to women.
No, he wasn't.
Well, you know what? I think enough time has passed, and people...
are forgiving spousal abuse?
Like Ringo and Paul would approve of having a very, realistic and even-keeled approach to his life and his legacy.
I think the only thing with the Beatles is they're so loved. I think there needs to be not only even, but a truthful biopic of them, because everybody seems to hold them as like musical gods. They don't realize that John Lennon was a giant asshole from everything I've ever read about him.
Here's the thing, man, is human beings in and of themselves are 1,000 different things to 1,000 different people. And the Beatles touched so many lives that there are 4 billion different things to 4 different 4 billion different people. So you know, when they go through their I want to hold your hand phase into the psychedelic I am a walrus fucking shit.
Yellow Submarine.
It's, you understand there's an evolution of a human being in there and of a band itself. So I think people have come to respect them as just artists and people also.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Yeah. The Beatles were very talented.
But I don't think we have to deify them, is I guess what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
We can respect them as human beings and having their own flaws and their own characteristics and that influenced their incredible music.
You know what? Yeah. I'm with Ryan. Let's take away their knighthood.
Yeah, fucking A. Yeah. Just regular
screw
old
you,
Paul
England.
McCartney from now on.
So Vin Diesel may have a possible Oscar award. There may be a spinoff of Groot, which means it'll be the best acting he's ever done by saying one word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or three, technically. I am.
Oh,
Groot.
Come on now, dude. Let's not forget Pitch Black, bro.
Come on, it wasn't exactly award-winning.
Hold on a second. I'm not even fucking kidding. That movie was awesome.
No. Yeah, I liked the first one. Yeah. The second one was entertaining. The third one sucked.
And don't bother with their Animatrix cartoon section in between.
So,
yeah, I know, right?
If you don't know what the Animatrix is...
No, the Animatrix is well worth watching.
Well, yeah, but I mean the Animatrix version of...
I have a question.
Don't watch that.
How many impossible missions can there really be? Because Mission Impossible 6 is coming up down the pike, and I want to know how many times can the little guy Tom Cruise save the world in an impossible fashion?
I don't know.
I mean, shit, how old can he get before he can't use it anymore?
Probably needs a stunt double.
No, he's an Olympic athlete. Just ask him.
He invented the internet. The most interesting...
Hey, with Scientology, you can do anything you want.
Honestly, the most interesting news that I've really read in the last couple of weeks was the Incendies director is going to try to resurrect Dune. Denis Villeneuve is going to direct a new Dune movie. What do you think? I mean, I don't know the guy's style enough to say he'll do a good or bad. I do think the two movies we have David Lynch's actual movie and the Sci-Fi Channel's, you know, miniseries. There's not much you can really do different, because between those two, that's a very broad spectrum of storytelling.
Yeah, it's... I don't think there's enough about that particular story that I'm that much of a fan of.
Now, I do like it. There is a lot of history. I mean, there are a couple of books after Dune, and Frank Herbert's son has written more. So I'm thinking they're going to have to not tell the same story. You know?
And that's almost kind of how I feel about it. Now, I don't know. I'd probably have to watch all of the versions and read the book and write a fucking dissertation about why I feel the way I do about Dune. But I couldn't look forward to this movie no matter who was doing it.
I'm not interested.
I'm going to see it just because I love Dune, but I don't know. I really don't know how you can do anything different than the two movies that have already been done. And did you guys like the movie Groundhog Day?
I do. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. It might be a perfect movie. Fuck anybody who says any different.
So I found this website posting that said the reason why his day was repeating. And it was actually in the script and apparently got removed. His ex-girlfriend cursed him.
Huh.
Well, okay. For the record, Harold Ramis is one of the craziest sons of bitches that ever lived.
God, I
miss that
guy.
The original script for this thing was so long. It was like something like 400 pages.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was really ridiculous. Like, the amount of time, and this has been argued in a couple of different places, the amount of time, the amount of days that he spent reliving that single day was something like 10,000 years.
Oh, damn.
You know, and basically the reason that I love it and the reason I can watch it 100 different times is that's basically how long it took him to realize not only what was important, but what was necessary to live the way that should be lived. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just this very altruistic, look, I realize it's not about me. It was the most egotistical person learning, you know, the most altruistic lessons. You know, all at his own sanity's expense.
Yeah, and it's a story. It's a method of storytelling that's been around forever. But that version of doing it is probably one of my all-time favorite movies. And when I saw it originally in the theaters, I didn't like it. To me, it was like, you know, I hated The Jackal, for example, when I first saw it. But I've seen it like probably a couple of thousand times since then. And every time
The Jackal?
When I saw The Jackal that first came out, I hated the movie.
About Richard Gere and Bruce Willis?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was comparing
Sidney Poitier?
Yeah. Well,
one of the most awkward line reads of all time. Anyway, I won't get into that now.
Well, yeah, but when I first saw it, I didn't like it. I've seen it since then, and I can see what it is. It's a stupid action movie that has some fun scenes in it.
It does have some fun scenes for sure.
And I've seen Groundhog Day probably at least 100 plus times, and every time I see it, I enjoy the movie even more.
Yeah. I cannot find a flaw in that movie. It's whatever that script was in the beginning, 400 pages or whatever. Whatever they whittled that down to and they shot is one of the most beautifully perfect things I've ever seen.
And they picked the perfect area of the United States to film. There's nothing about that movie to me that doesn't just make me laugh.
And the perfect cast, I mean, for Christ's sake. Andy McDowell.
Always had a crush on her.
Yeah, she was
great.
I always liked Andy McDowell because in Hollywood, what every woman's a blonde and blah, blah, blah. Andy McDowell was just naturally gorgeous.
Yeah.
Just very girl next door. Like, oh, you are the most adorable thing in the world, aren't you?
Ah. Exactly.
I'd still marry her.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
I don't even care if I'm an ex-husband in 3 days. Let's do it.
yeah. Hand, hit me up.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm kidding. I love you, honey.
Until Annie McDowell walks in the door.
And if you hear Ryan talking funny next week, it's because somebody got the better of him. There were some really good stories this week. You guys have anything to finish the show off with?
Andy, you're only 58. No, got to hook me up.
I've got a little wine left. I need to get back.
No, yeah, I think we're good.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, thank you for watching.
Goodbye.